So life is always more exciting when you relearn it through the eyes of a three-year-old. So I was going through the Manishtana with my three-year-old daughter, and we started the first question. You know, on all other nights we have chametz and matzah, and tonight we only have matzah. So my daughter turned to me and she said, on all other nights you could have matzah also? So I said, yes, that's actually true, but there is something special about matzah on the night of the Seder. And that's what we're here to discuss. And the mitzvah of matzah is really essential to the holiday. You know, you're all amazing women that you're out here the Sunday morning before Pesach, but many, many people spend weeks, maybe months, I don't know, depends how organized you are, preparing for this mitzvah of matzah and the accompanying iser of chametz, the prohibition to have chametz. And so this is what we're here this morning to discuss. Why is matzah so important? So luckily we don't have to look too far. Source number one, the Haggadah Shel Pesach, tells us, matzah zu she'anu ochlim al shuma. Why do we have to have matzah at the Seder? And the Baal Haggadah answers, al shum shelo hispik b'tzeikam shel avotenu l'hachmet. Our forefathers' bread did not have time to leaven, ad she'nigla lehem melech ma'achayim lachim ha'kadosh baruch hu u'golam ma'ad, until Hashem revealed himself and redeemed Bnei Yisrael immediately. Shnei Amar, and he quotes a pasuk that we're going to investigate, found in Shmuel Perek Yudbet, Vayofu et habatzek asher otzi mimitzrayim ugot matzot kilo chametz, and they baked the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim as matzah cakes, which did not have time to leaven, kigarshu mimitzrayim, because they were chased out of Egypt, v'lo yachlu lehit mameh, and they did not have time to delay, v'gam teda lo asu lahem, and they also didn't prepare provisions for themselves. And so there are three main questions that we're going to investigate today. Question number one really is about this pasuk from Shemot, which makes it seem that the reason that they had matzah, that they baked matzah when they left Mitzrayim, was because they didn't have time. Which is a little bit strange, considering if you look in source 2b, pasuk tedvav, the underlined, they were already commanded from the time of Rosh Chodesh to have matzah. Shivat yamin matzah tochelu, they were commanded that for 7 days you should have matzah, right? And kikol ochel chametz v'nechvetah ha'nechesh ahim Yisrael. They were forbidden to have chametz already from the time of Rosh Chodesh, when Moshe was commanded by Hashem that for 7 days they should celebrate the holiday of Pesach. So how could the pasuk make it seem that the reason that they had matzah when they left Mitzrayim was because they were chased out? They were already commanded to have matzah. So that'll be question number one for us to understand this pasuk in Shemot. Question number two is, if it's true that the reason we eat matzah is because we were chased out of Mitzrayim, then I have another question. Look at pasuk chet in source 2a. V'ichlu et habasar b'layla hazeh, referring to the night of Makah Bechor, the Leil HaSeder, which actually took place in Mitzrayim. You should have the Karban Pesach on that night. How should you eat it? Tzli eish, roasted, u'matzot al marurim yochluhu, and eat the Karban Pesach with matzah and marur. Eat as a matzah sandwich. So I don't understand. Why were they having matzah on that night? If the reason for matzah is because we were chased out, which took place the next day, then why did they have matzah on the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim? And so perhaps we'll have to see, maybe the reason that they had matzah on that night was different than the reason we have matzah. But in any case, the reason for matzah remains a question, both at the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim and today at our own Seder, why do we have matzah? And the third question is, what's the big deal that they were rushed out? Okay, I understand it's a big deal we were safe from Mitzrayim, we were asleep for so long, but who cares that we were rushed out, that the haste was such a big deal, this idea of chipazon, that we were rushed, why do we make such a big deal about it? Let's say, for example, someone was in the World Trade Center on September 11th, and they happened to be found on the 40th floor when the towers were hit. And so, miracle of miracles, there was an elevator that was right there, and the man managed to leap into the elevator before the elevator went down, and he miraculously was saved. And so every year he celebrates his saving, the fact that he was saved from the World Trade Centers. And so what does he make people do? He walks around leaping, because he leaped into the elevator. So I understand it was miraculous, right? But why focus on that part? Why focus on the fact that it took place quickly? Maybe focus on the elevator, maybe focus on the fact that the elevator was there, maybe focus that the elevator made it down, whatever it is. But why focus on the fact that it took place quickly? And this really makes a big deal. If I didn't have to care about the fact that the matzah was made quickly, well then maybe I wouldn't have to make matzah so quickly. Maybe I wouldn't have to clean my house from chametz. Right? What's the idea of chipazon? Why does it have to be quickly? So those are our three questions we're going to address today. Again, number one, what was occurring at the time that they left Mitzrayim? In other words, why does the pasuk make it sound that they didn't make chametz because they were rushed out as opposed to being commanded ahead of time? Question number two, why did they have matzah at the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim? And question number three, why do we care about the chipazon at all? So, in order to understand the psukim in Mitzrayim, we have to look in source 2 at the psukim in Shemot, Perek Yudbet. And it's a very long perek, I only quoted for you part of it, which starts off with the instruction, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Moshe is given the commandments of Rosh Chodesh, and accompanying the commandments, he's commanded about what should occur on the Leil HaSeder, on Yudal Nisan. And so, they should take the Karban Pesach, they should slaughter it, that's where we have pasachet, they should eat it with matzot. And then he goes on to give the commandments of the holiday itself. How should you eat the Karban Pesach, what should you do? And there we have the accompanying iser, the prohibition of chametz, the prohibition against leavened bread. And then later on in the parak, sections D and E, we have actually the idea of what happened, the story of what happened of Makkah Bechorah. That the Mitzrayim got sick, the Egyptians were sick, Paro called to Moshe and Aaron, commanded them to get rushed out, to leave, and finally, Pasuk Lamitet, in section E, the Pasuk that the Baal HaGadah quotes, Vayaofu et habasek asher otim li Mitzrayim, ogot matzo kilo chametz. That they baked the bread as matzahs because it didn't have time to rise. And so the discrepancy really comes between these two psukim in Pasuk Tedvav, where the prohibition of chametz is found, and Pasuk Lamitet, where it makes it seem that the dough didn't have time to rise because they were rushed down. And there are really two approaches to this answer, to this question, depending upon which Pasuk you want to give the simple explanation to. Do you want to understand the prohibition of Chametz in its simplest explanation? Or do you want to understand that they were rushed out in its simplest explanation? And these are the two approaches taken by the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. The way I've set it up for you, actually, in terms of the breakdown of the psukim, really leads to the explanation of the Ibn Ezra, which is that if you look, where is Pasuk Tedvav found? Pasuk Tedvav is found in the instructions for Pesach Dorot, and the commandments and the halachos for the way that Pesach should be celebrated for all future generations. And if that's the case, says the Ibn Ezra, then it's not necessarily true that there was a prohibition of chametz for 7 days in the time of Mitzrayim. Maybe that prohibition only applied to future generations. And if so, then what did they intend when they left Mitzrayim? They intended to make bread. They didn't have an issur of chametz. That's what the Tosefta says in source 5. Rav Yossi Aglili says, Omer ani shelo nesar chametz in Mitzrayim ela yom echad. Chametz was only prohibited in Mitzrayim for 1 day. You can't have chametz today. In which case, then the night of the Seder, the night of Makkah Bechorah in Mitzrayim, they were supposed to have matzah, not allowed to have chametz. But the rest of the time, there was no holiday of 7 days in the time of Mitzrayim, right? Which makes sense a little bit. They weren't expected to exactly celebrate when they're running away from the Egyptians. And so for the mitzvah of 7 days to have chametz, only applied for future generations. And if so, then the pasuk in Pasuk Lamitet is literal. They had intended to make chametz, says the Ibn Ezra. Ilu hayu ha-meinichim ha-mitzriyim, source 4, she'yit ma'amu k'tzat, if the mitzriyim would have allowed them to delay a little bit, hayu machmitin isatam, then they would have allowed their dough to rise. And that is the approach of Ibn Ezra, which gives the premise, the focus, the simple explanation to Pasuk Lamitet, but reinterprets a little bit Pasuk Tevav. Pasuk Tevav didn't apply in the time of Mitzrayim, but only apply to future generations. The opposite explanation is given by the Ramban. And the Ramban says, no. Pasuk Tedvav is literal. Why would it make sense that the prohibition for 7 days should only apply for future generations? Why should future generations be any different than Pesach Mitzrayim? And future generations, we have the Isser of Chametz, the prohibition of Chametz for 7 days. So too, in Mitzrayim, they had the prohibition for Chametz for 7 days. So then what does the pasuk mean that they were chased out and that's why they made chametz? So look very carefully at the pasuk Lamitet. That's a very careful reading, but the difference in punctuation makes the whole difference. That they baked the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim as matzah cakes, which weren't they didn't make into chametz. Because they were chased out of Mitzrayim and they didn't have time to delay. Because, what is because? It's not explaining why they made it as matzah. They were always going to make it as matzah. But what's it explaining? Asher hotziu mi Mitzrayim. Why did they make it on the path? Why didn't they make their matzah at home? Right? Most of the time we don't bake on the way. So why did they bake it as they were leaving? Ki garshu mi Mitzrayim, because they were chased out of Mitzrayim. In other words, according to the Ramban, they had always intended to make matzah cakes. Why had they intended that? Because that was the commandment already from Pasuk Tetvav, where they were prohibited to have chametz. And so the Ramban says, source number 3, that the reason that says that they were chased out was lo marsha afu oto baderech, was to say that they baked it on the pan, ba'avor shigarshim Mitzrayim, since they were chased out of Mitzrayim. The lo yachlu l'hitzma'ameya la'afot oto ba'ir, and they didn't have time to delay, not to delay to make chametz, but to delay to make it in the city, v'laseit oto afui matzot, and to take with them baked matzah bread. And so the two explanations that either they were intending to make chametz all along, according to the Ibn Ezra, but they just didn't have time to make their chametz because they were chased out. Or on the other hand, the Ramban, no, they were intending to make matzah all along, they just didn't have time to make it in the city because they were being chased out. However, we're still left with the question of Pasachet, which is why did they have matzah in Mitzrayim on the Leil HaSeder to begin with? Right? The night of the Seder either took place beforehand. So how could you say, right, Pasachet, v'echluot ha-basar b'layla hazet tzli eishu matzot amroram yochluhu? Why did they have the commandment to have the Karban Pesach with matzah, which took place beforehand, which took place before they were chased out of Mitzrayim? So there are 4 approaches to answering this question. The first approach given by the Avudram and the Shibul Leket, sources 6 and 7, states that, yes, it's true. The reason for matzah is that we were chased out. Oh, so why did they do it ahead of time? It's not really a problem. Hashem, who gives the commandments, is not bound by time. Right? One of our principles of faith is that God is timeless. And so to the fact that the commandments came before the reason is not really a problem for Hashem. Says the Avudraham, that Hashem gave the mitzvah al shem ha'asid, that Hashem gave the commandments for the future. Yes, it's true, the mitzvah came later. I'm sorry, the reason came later. But the commandment was already given from beforehand. And so what were they celebrating on the night of Pesach and Mitzrayim? They were celebrating the fact that they were going to be chased out. Yes, they may not have known that at the time. But looking back, we know that that was the reason for the commandment. And so perhaps at the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim, they weren't exactly sure. Maybe it was a chok. Maybe they didn't know the reason for the commandment. But now, looking back, we know that the reason for the commandment is actually the fact that they were chased out, which had not taken place yet. And the Shla makes this answer even a little bit stronger. How do we refer to matzah? Lechem oni, poor man's bread, right? Why do we refer to matzah as lechem oni? Well, we're told that this was actually the bread of affliction. This was the bread halach ma'anya, di'achalu avatan of Mitzrayim. This was the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. When did they eat it? The whole years that they were working as slaves. We're told that the Mitzrayim didn't even give them time to make bread, right? Although the Mitzrayim knew that they had to eat something, they physically needed some sustenance in order to continue their work. The Mitzrayim did not even give them time to make bread. And so what did they have to do? They had to make something quickly, something that would quickly give them sustenance. So what did they make? Matzah. And this is what they had for years after years. They had this bread of affliction, this lechem oni. And then what happens? So we're told that during the time of the Mako, the Jews were not working anymore. And assuming each Mako took about a month duration, 3 weeks of mourning, 1 week of the actual Mako, then for at least the 10 months prior to Leil HaSeder, the Jews have not been meeting matzah. Right? Now they're free, they can do whatever they want. They're not freed yet, but they were not actually working, and presumably they wouldn't want to eat the matzah anymore. So what happens then at the Leil HaSeder? They're commanded to eat matzah. And let's just think, what would we have been thinking? We're sitting around the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim. Oh, remember, we used to eat this bread when we were slaves. We didn't have time to do any work. I'm sorry, we didn't have any time to cook. We could only eat this lechem. Only remember how bad it used to be. And then what would happen the next day? The next day they're chased out. They don't have time to make their bread. They're running along the path, and they take the dough off their back, and what do they see? It's matzah. Just the same way that we ate matzah last night, and we were talking about how bad the slavery was. And so the Shlach says it's not, this is source number 9, it's not just the fact that it was given al shema asad, that it was given for the future, but that it was given in the manner to show them that it was kibadavar asher zadu aleihem, in the same way that you were oppressed, bedavar ze'atmo nigalu. This is the same way that you were free, bechipazon, with this haste. What would have happened if they weren't given the commandments ahead of time? So then, for years and years they had matzah, bread of affliction, when they were working and working and working. For 10 months they don't have matzah, right? They're freed, so to speak. The Leil HaSeder comes, they don't have matzah, right? They just have their Karbon Pesach. The next day they're chased out. Their dough doesn't have time to leaven. And so, okay, isn't that funny? It became matzah. But the fact that Hashem gave them the commandments ahead of time clues them in that this was part of the miracle. This chipazon was part of the miracle, which is ironically the exact same way that they had been working all along. And that's what Hashem wants to show them by giving them the mitzvah ahead of time. To allow them to recognize that there's almost a nahapochu, right, Pesach style, a turnaround, that the same way that they had been working all along, the same way that they were afflicted, that is the exact manner of the redemption. That is the same way that they are saved. And this is chipazon, which we'll come back to in a little bit. This chipazon is what Hashem wants to show them, that this miracle is not accidental, that the fact that you were chased out and your bread didn't have time to leaven is an essential part of the miracle, which Hashem wants to show you. And why is it an essential part of the miracle? Because it's exactly the opposite. This haste is exactly the opposite, in a good way, from what you had been doing all along. And so according to the Shlach, the reason why they were commanded about it ahead of time was not just that it's given in advance of the reason, that it's given to clue you into the reason. That otherwise they might not have noticed how ironic it is that their matzah, that their bread didn't have time to rise and become matzah. But the fact that they were given the commandment ahead of time, that they had time to reflect, to recall how bad it was the night before when they're sitting around eating their poor man's bread, that now they have time to recognize and the ability to recognize the extent of the miracle. The Rav Abarbanel sort of takes an intermediary approach, source number 8, which is that perhaps that the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim has a different reason for matzah than our matzah today. And in fact, he is medayik in the Lashon, he's specific in the language of the Baal Haggadah, which is that for matzah, he has matzah zu she'anu ochlim al shema. That the matzah that we eat, what's the reason for? As opposed to for Pesach, when it says, what's the reason for Pesach? It says, Pesach shahyu avotenu ochlim al shema. The reason why our four ancestors ate the Pesach, what was the reason for that? And so the Abarbanel says maybe it's a different reason. Pesach, it's the same reason. Pesach, we always remember, right? Nowadays we remember, but we don't actually eat the Pesach nowadays. But Pesach, we recall that Hashem passed over our houses when he saved us from Makkah Bechorot. And that was true when we ate the Pesach at the time of the Leil HaSeder. And that's true for the Pesach that we would eat today, were we able to. But the matzah is a different reason. The matzah that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim, why did it? We just talked about that it was lechem oni. It was poor man's bread. It was to remind them of how bad the affliction was. It was allow them to recall and reflect on the extent of the shibud, the extent of the slavery. But nowadays, why do we have the matzah? So the Bar Minyan says it's a different reason. Nowadays we have the matzah because kigarshim mitzrayim lo yachol l'mameya. Because we were chased out of Egypt and we didn't have time to delay. In other words, not zecher la'avdut, to commemorate the servitude, but rather zecher l'cheirut, to remember the freedom. And so he has a nice split in the division of the reason for matzah. The reason that they ate matzah on the Leil HaSeder is not the same reason that we have matzah now. They had matzah on the Leil HaSeder because they were commemorating how bad it was. Nowadays we have the matzah on the Leil HaSeder to recognize how good it was, how great the extent of our how great the extent of our regula, our redemption was, that we were chased out so quickly, that the Mitzrayim, who for so many years kept us, chased us out. They couldn't wait to get rid of us. And Rav Ruderman in source 10 gives really a different explanation. And it's true not just for the mitzvah of matzah, certainly not just the mitzvah of matzah l'nel ha-seder, but also for the mitzvah altogether, which is that even we know there's a disagreement in terms of whether we are expected to know the reasons for mitzvot or not, whether we're expected to understand the reasons for mitzvot or not. But we could maybe assume that the reasons that are given for us in the Torah, those at least we can depend upon. Meaning whether or not we're supposed to investigate what the tamei ha-mitzvot are, whether or not we're supposed to investigate what the reasons for the mitzvot are, may be debatable. But if the Torah gives us a reason for the mitzvah, if the Torah tells us that the reason we eat matzah is because kipazon yatzatim in Mitzrayim, that we were chased out of Egypt, then certainly maybe those reasons we can depend upon. And Rav Ruderman says not quite. That it's true that the reasons for mitzvot may be a part of the reason. And that certainly even for historical mitzvot, they may be a part of the reason. But nevertheless, it doesn't account for the entire reason for mitzvot. He says, verse 10, although the Torah relates the eating of matzah to the historical events of the Exodus, there are many more levels of meaning behind the mitzvah which justify its application even before the historical event, and for that matter, even before the creation of the world. Which makes sense, really, because not only do we know that they ate matzah at the Leil HaSeder, which took place before they were chased out, but the Torah tells us that Abraham ate matzah on Pesach, that Lot ate matzah on Pesach. That's a mitzvah of matzah was created well before the historical events take place. And so yes, it may be true that it's given al shema asid for the future. Rav Ruderman says that that's a part of the reason, that that's a part of the answer. That the explanation may allow us to tap into the reason, may allow us to feel connected more to the eating of the matzah, but that it cannot account for the entire reasoning. And so these are really four different explanations as to why they ate matzah on the Leil HaSeder. Either because they were given the commandment for the future, that the reason was the reason that they were chased down, but that the commandment was given ahead of time. Perhaps it was given for the future in order to clue them in to the nace, that the miracle that was about to occur. Perhaps the reason that they ate matzah on the Leil HaSeder was very different than the reason that we are given now. That the reason that they had matzah on the Leil HaSeder was because they were commemorating the servitude. But nowadays we are commemorating the fact that we are redeemed quickly. Or perhaps that's a part of the reason and we don't know the whole reason. That the part of the reason is for the fact that we were chased out, but that's just a piece of it. It was just a piece of it at the time that they left Mitzrayim, and it's just a piece of it for us today. And so our last question, which still has to be addressed, is why is the chipazon so important? Why is it such a big deal that we were chased out? And why do we make such a commemoration to the extent of turning our lives over when we turn our house over to get rid of all our chametz, right? Why do we act like that man that we leap around into elevators to commemorate that part of the miracle? And the question is made even stronger by the Shla, who points out that why is the chipazon considered to be a good thing? The fact that we were rushed out, I wouldn't think to be such a great part of the miracle. If we were truly free, if we were truly given the ability to do whatever we want, then I would think, let's parade out on our own time. Let's wait till we pack our bags. Let's wait till we prepare our food. Let's wait till we get ourselves ready. And then when we're ready to leave, we'll leave, right? You Mitzrayim think that you're going to push us out. When we're good and ready to go, we'll go. You're not going to push us out anymore. And so the chipazon itself, the fact that we celebrate this haste as being a good thing, is questionable and is made even stronger by the Navi Yeshayim in source 12, which tells us that the final geula, the ultimate redemption for which we are still awaiting, will not be the same way. Ki lo bechipazon teiteo. You will not be rushed out. Ubnusa lo teilechun. And you won't be forced to go in a rush, in a distress, that it's not going to be a stressful sort of geula, that it's going to be rushed, it's going to be getting ready, go, go, go. Ki helach lefneichem Hashem u'masitem Elokei Yisrael. Because Hashem will go before you, and Hashem will gather you together. And so, if the chipazon is not a good thing, right? If the chipazon is not something that we're looking forward to in the final geula, right? We don't expect, we don't want to be rushed out. We want to be able to go on our own terms. That's what freedmen do. Freedmen leave when they're ready to leave. Freedmen leave when their bags are packed, when they have their food. They don't rush. So then why don't we act as if the chipazon was a good thing? So Rashi, on the pasuk in Devarim, which talks about the haste, where, stories 13 and 14, where it says, that the reason we have matzah lechem onu, that we have the poor man's bread, is because we left Mitzrayim in haste, in order to remember the fact that we left Mitzrayim all the days of our lives, points out that this chipazon is not the chipazon of Bnei Yisrael. It's not the fact that Bnei Yisrael, that the Jews were rushed. So who was rushed? Look at Rashi. The chipazon lo shel chahaya ela shel Mitzrayim. The haste was not yours, but rather it was the Egyptians' haste, right? The Jews weren't in a rush to leave. The Jews could have left whenever they want. That the Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians were forcing themselves, were harsh upon the people, that they were rushing them. In other words, and the Shlo speaks this down, in other words, if the chipazon had been the haste of the Jews, then maybe it wouldn't have been a good thing, right? The Shlo says, source 11, the middle paragraph, Devada chipazon ina mi'ulta kishach chipazon mitza hanigal. The chipazon, the haste, is not a good thing when the haste comes from the one being redeemed, right? It's not considered to be a good thing if you're forced to leave. You could, if you're really freed, if you're really have the ability to choose what you want to do, then you should be able to leave when you want to leave. But now that the chipazon, that the haste wasn't from the Jews, but rather it was from the Egyptians, that against their will they were forcing them to become free men quickly, quickly. This is its high level. This is why we make a big deal about it. Because we're emphasizing the fact that the freedom was done in such a way that the Egyptians were forcing us to leave, which was, so to speak, against the Egyptians' will. That the Egyptians, for years and years, right, no slave ever was able to escape from Egypt. And now, finally, they're doing a 180-degree turnaround. That now they're forcing them to leave as quickly as can be. And so the chipazon that we're celebrating is and that we're making such a big deal about, is not the fact that the Jews were forced to leave, but rather that the Egyptians were forcing us to leave. That they were the ones who were in a rush. The Jews weren't in a rush. According to this explanation, they could have gone whenever they wanted. But the Egyptians were rushing them so much that that is what we celebrate. So it's a nice explanation. The problem is it doesn't really fit with the simple meaning of the pasuk and the simple meaning of the Haggadah, which seems to make it sound that we were the ones being rushed. Right? The reason we have matzah is because we were rushed. We didn't have time to make food. And in fact, that's what the Shlo brings in the third paragraph, right? That Asher Kavanabo, that simple interpretation, the simple explanation of the Baal Haggadah is Ki lo hispik b'teikam l'hachmitz b'derech harav shehochubo miram seis l'sukot, that their bread didn't have time to rise. And so the simplest explanation is that we are the ones who are being rushed, right? I guess even if the Mitzrayim were rushing us, we're still at the end of the day being rushed. So what's the big deal? So I think maybe you could explain this in a couple of ways. The first, to go back to the Shlo, we talked about that it was exactly the opposite of what they had been experiencing all along. That the chipazon was something special because the chipazon was actually exactly the opposite of what they had been experiencing. And the same way that we talk about the Nahapuchu on Purim, that every aspect of the miracle of Purim gets flipped around from bad to good, that the exact same thing happens here. The exact same thing happened in Mitzrayim, that what was bad originally gets flipped around to be good. And that is an essential part of the miracle. That shows the extent of the turnaround. That shows the extent of how much they were saved. Just as how bad it was, right? We know they went from the 49th level of Tumah to the 49th level of Tahara, from the 49th degree of impurity to the highest level of purity. And that same thing in terms of their physical oppression, that they went from being the lowest of the low slaves, that they don't even have time to make bread, to being the highest of the high, so to speak, that they're rushed out even against their will. And that the chipazon shows the extent, or the irony, if you would, of the miracle. I think you could say that this idea of emphasizing the chipazon is not just the only part of Pesach that we emphasize. That we really make a big deal about Pesach a lot of times, right? We have the commandment to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim every day, not just every day, twice a day, right? We say it in the brachos of Shema, morning and night. That we have almost everything we do, or not everything, but a lot of things we do are Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. We say Kiddush, Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. We do mitzvot, Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. We have on our doors, we have a mezuzah, have the commandment to remember Mitzrayim. That the tefillin on our arms have the commandment to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. Then why do we make such a big deal about Yetziat Mitzrayim at all? And the Rabban at the end of Parshat Bo, source 15, has a beautiful piece about why we make a big deal about Mitzrayim at all. And I think that this could certainly apply to why we make a big deal about the chipazon aspect. And the Rambam says that Hashem doesn't make miracles so often. I know we read about a lot of miracles in the Torah, but over the scheme of Jewish history, God doesn't make miracles so often. When does God make miracles? Once in a while. Kasher Yirtzeh Elokim, the first paragraph, the Eidah al B'yachid, when Hashem wants to do something, Hashem wants to prove a point, so to speak, and he does a change in the nature of the world, he changes something about the natural order of events, then it shows the world, it proves to the world how false these false ideologies are. Ki ha-mofe ha-nifla moret, because what does the miracle prove to the world? It proves that there is a God who creates the world, the Odeya, and knows about the world, Umashkiach, and watches over the world, Viachol, and has the ability to do whatever he wants in the world. And so when Hashem makes a miracle, and there's certainly an open miracle like Yetziat Mitzrayim, that they're forced out, that a Jew left Mitzrayim, like that they split the Yam Suf, then Hashem does it for a specific reason to prove a point. And the Ramban goes through each of the sets of Makos, each of the sets of the plagues, and proves how each one of them proves one of these points. The first set of Makos proves La Roda HaShkacha, shows that Hashem watches over the world. The second set of Makos shows La Roda HaChidush, shows that Hashem has the ability to renew the world, to recreate the world. And the third set of Makos, La Roda HaYecholet, shows that Hashem can do whatever he wants, that he is omnipotent. And so when Hashem does a miracle like this, which he does once in a blue moon, so to speak, then Hashem wants to make a big deal about it. Hashem wants people to know about it. Because why? Because Hashem's not going to do this all the time. But the ideology is that it's going against our present all the time. There will always be people who will deny God. There will always be people who will say that Hashem created the world but is no longer there. There will always be people who say that Hashem may be there but he doesn't have the control, that he doesn't have the ability to do what he wants. And so when Hashem does a miracle, Hashem wants to make a big deal, so to speak, about it, because Hashem wants us to be able to recognize that Hashem is always there, and Hashem is always powerful. And even more so, the Ramban says, that Hashem makes this very stringent upon us. Hechmir ma'o b'inyan zeh, Hashem is very exacting with us. Kimo shechiv karet v'achila pesach. If you have intentionally chametz on Pesach, you are going against not only the Torah, but you have the chiyuv of kares, you have of extradition, of being cut off from the Jewish people. And so, which is the most stringent a law could be in Jewish law. And so Hashem makes such a big deal of this idea of chipazon, the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim, because Hashem wants us to recognize the abilities that he's proven to us. And the Ramban ends off, and this is why I think it's one of the most beautiful Rambans, because it's not just showing the great miracles to recognize that Hashem has the ability to split the sea. But if you look in this last paragraph, Umin hanisim hagdolam hamufursamim, and from these great famous miracles, Adam moded benisim hanistarim shehem yisod haTorah kula, then a person will come to recognize the hidden miracles which are the foundation of the entire Torah. Sheim Adam chelek b'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, that a person has no portion in the Torah of Moshe, at Shanamin b'chol divreinu u'mikreinu, until he believes that every aspect of our lives, shekulam nisim, that they are all miracles, Ein b'hem teva u'minhago shel olam. That there's no such thing as a natural coincidence in the world. And so when a person comes to reflect upon this idea of Yetzia Mitzrayim, when a person comes to reflect upon this idea that Hashem has the ability to do mako, to take us out against the Mitzrayim's will, and to certainly do so with haste, to rush us out, then a person will come to a recognition that not only does Hashem have the ability to split the sea, but Hashem is the one who's causing the flower to rise. That not only does Hashem have the ability to, you know, rain barad, rain hail down from the sky, but Hashem is the one who makes the rain come down altogether. And so a person will come to recognize that all the nature that is in the world are actually manifestations of Hashem. And so I think that maybe this is another reason why we make such a big deal about the Chippah Zone. Because it's part of the Sipur Yetzia Mitzrayim, which we make a big deal of to begin with. I think that there may even be a more deeper reason for the Chippah Zone. And it's my own conjecture, you could take it or leave it. But I think that there is something essential about the time period of Mitzrayim, the time period of the Geula, which made the Chippah Zone necessary, which made the fact that we rushed into it something special. And the time period of Mitzrayim was right at the infancy of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael were just being created. They weren't even yet a nation. They hadn't even yet accepted the Torah. It was the Kor HaBarzel, so to speak, the furnace which was going to prepare us to become a nation. But we weren't yet a nation. And nevertheless, even without a prior, so to speak, relationship with Hashem, we rushed out into the unknown desert, to an unknown land with unknown provisions. We didn't even have our bags packed. And the Navi Yirmiyahu makes a big deal about this. He says that Hashem praises us for this. When Hashem says, Lechtech achrei b'midbar, that you follow me into the desert, be'eretz lo zera, into a land that was not sown. That you didn't know what you were getting yourselves into, so to speak. And that in general in Judaism, maybe we don't follow this idea of Chippah Zone. Maybe we're not always expected to rush into things, right? In general, we have calculated responses, we do pros and cons, we think, is it good, is it not good, we prepare ourselves, right? Although it may seem that way, Pesach doesn't, you know, surprise us each year, right? We know when Pesach is coming, we know what the predictable pattern is in Jewish law. But there are time periods in our history when Chippah Zone is essential, that it's necessary to take, so to speak, a leap of faith. To jump into, to rush into the Midbar, when we don't know what we're doing, when we're not prepared. And this point becomes even more strong when you think about it, that the Chippah Zone didn't have to happen. We could have been prepared, right? Moshe could have told us, you're going to leave tonight. Prepare yourself food. Or even if you want to say, maybe Moshe, I don't know. But Hashem could have told them, besides getting ready for the Leil HaSeder and getting the sheep and slaughtering the sheep, prepare your bags because you're going to leave soon, right? But Hashem specifically didn't tell them. And Moshe specifically did not want them to be prepared because there was something essential at this point in Jewish history which made it necessary for the Jews to take that leap of faith without being prepared, without being known. That was going to enable them to then go on and be the nation that would be able to say Na'aseh v'nishma, that will do and will accept the Torah without knowing what it is. And that now, in the infancy of Bnei Yisrael, the Chippah Zone was essential, and that's why we celebrate it so much. We celebrate the fact that Bnei Yisrael were able to jump into the unknown. They were able to rush to go nowhere that they knew. They had been in Mitzrayim their whole lives. This was all they ever knew. Yes, it was harsh, but this was all that their collective nation had ever heard of, had ever known of. No one knew where they were going. No one knew about Eretz Yisrael. No one knew about the desert. Where were they going to get food? What were they going to do? What were they going to eat? What were they going to wear? Right? And nevertheless, they rushed out without food. And that shows the extent of the miracle. That shows the extent of nationhood. And that's not necessarily going to be the case in the final Geula. We're not going to maybe need that Chippah Zone in the final Geula. The Chippah Zone lo teitzeyu. We're not going to need to rush out. We'll already, in the final Geula, have had a long relationship with Hashem. We know we're going to Eretz Yisrael. We know that Hashem will provide for us. We're not going to need to demonstrate that leap of faith. And so I think the Chippah Zone at the time of Mitzrayim is really something which is essential at that point in history, and that's why we celebrate it so much. That's why we make our lives crazy to get rid of the chametz and to eat the matzah, because of the importance of what occurred at the time at which it occurred. And so to summarize, I think we've addressed this morning the three questions in terms of understanding the pasuk in Shemot, understanding the idea that we were chased out of Mitzrayim, and that either explains why they were chased out, I'm sorry, that either explains why they made matzah, right, because they were planning on making chametz, or why they made matzah on the way, because they were planning on making matzah all along, since that had been the commandment since Rosh Chodesh. I think we see the four reasons why they ate matzah on the Leil HaSeder in Mitzrayim. Either it's the same reason that we have it now, that we eat the matzah to remember the fact that we were chased out. Just at that point, it was just given for the future. They didn't know the reason yet. Perhaps the reason they ate it then was to clue them into the miracle that would happen tomorrow, to clue them into the fact that they were going to be saved in the chippazon in the way that they had been slaves all along. Perhaps the reason that they ate it then was different than the reason we ate it now. That they ate it then zecher la'avda, to commemorate the servitude, and we eat it now zecher la'cheira, to commemorate the freedom. Or perhaps, we don't know the reason for the matzah. Perhaps the reason that we know is the historical reason is just a part of the reason. And that we will never know the full extent of the multiple layers of meaning behind the matzah. And the last thing we addressed was this idea of chippazon. That why is the haste such a big deal? Why is the haste such an important part of the miracle? And so the simplest answer, I guess, according to Rashi, would be that the chippazon was not ours. We were not rushed out, but rather that the Mitzrayim were rushing us. The Egyptians were the ones who were going fast. Perhaps the chippazon, the haste, was something important because it shows us the degree of the turnaround, the fact that everything was flipped from how bad things were to how great things now are. Perhaps this is just a portion of the Pesach story, which we make a big deal of, to show the fact that Hashem can do miracles, and that not only can Hashem do large miracles, but Hashem does miracles in our everyday life. Or perhaps the chippazon was an important piece of that Bnei Yisrael's history at that time period, that they needed to show that they could take a leap of faith to run into the Midbar without provisions in order to show that they were ready to become the nation. And so, you know, I wasn't exactly sure what to answer my three-year-old when she asked me that. I didn't know, should I give her the Bar Benel's answer? Should I give her the Shlaz answer? But I did tell her that the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach is special, that it's unique from other nights. And I think that hopefully this morning we saw some of the reasons why that mitzvah of matzah at the Seder is special and is unique to that time period.